Good morning, everyone. I remarked right before we started, I wasn't sure if people would get the message that we're locked down, and then there was nobody here, so I said, I guess the message got out. Today's gospel presents us with the contrast between Herod, King Herod, the Tetrarch, and John the Baptist. And if we were in normal circumstances, that's what I would focus on. The greatness of John, the nobility of John, and the evil, the lowness, the baseness of Herod. John representing a man of God, Herod representing a man of the flesh, of the man of the world. John who is true, who's pure, Herod who is enslaved to lust and who is a deceiver. John who is courageous, Herod who is fearful, he's afraid of what people think of him, even a girl who dances for him. And it's a great contrast. In fact, it's a great study on the possibilities of human nature and what happens when we cooperate with God or what happens when we refuse to cooperate with God. So, as I say, in normal times, that's what I would focus on, but we're not in normal times. The speed with which this lockdown has come upon us is absolutely astonishing to me. Even though it happened before, I can't believe it's happened again. And so, I even though I'm going through the normal motions, interiorly, I'm churning, and I'm probably not the only one. The image that comes to mind is years ago, I saw a motorcycle accident. Fortunately, the driver was not badly hurt, but I remember the motorcycle was upside down and the wheel was still turning fast as if it was going somewhere. That motorcycle wasn't going anywhere, but the wheel was still turning. That's kind of how I feel inside. Turmoil. A surprise, yes, but in a negative sense. In fact, I'm not much for swearing or cursing, but it seems like this setting, this circumstance, it would seem fitting to utter a few nasty words. It came so fast. On Thursday, it was announced that we're going to have GCQ with heightened restrictions from August 1st, August 15th. Okay, now, so what? What does heightened restrictions mean? That wasn't so clear. And that's the way it is sometimes. We've been through this before. So I didn't pay that much attention. On Friday, after the Mass, people asked me, well, are we going to still have Mass? And I said, well, no one has said what heightened restrictions means. I don't know. And what I had in mind and what I think we all had in mind was, can we still have 30% or do we have to go back to 10% occupancy of the chapel? So that's the only question I really had. And then yesterday I was contacted by a school to offer a Mass next week. Opening of the school year, I said, well, that's good. The parish is locked down, so they can't do it. So naturally, they found me, and I said, fine. And then later in the day, one of our neighbors, his father passed away and asked if I could do a funeral. So I said, yeah, sure, as long as only family members, you know all the rules, and everybody knows all the rules. So I wasn't changing anything. And then yesterday, I don't know, maybe about lunchtime, we got the news that this heightened restriction thing is only going to go up until August 5. On August 6, we're going back to ECQ, enhanced community quarantine. Enhanced meaning not better. Enhanced meaning worse. That's the worst level we've ever had. Remember it. Everyone remembers it. August 6 to August 20. Oh, great. That means everything's going to shut down, checkpoints, passes, everything stops and people suffer. And then in the later afternoon, news is coming out that at least we had a week to get ready for the ECQ. It doesn't start till next Friday. Then the word comes out, what does heightened restriction mean in the meantime? It means no public gatherings, no masses, no public masses. And then right before, by the end of the day, I got the circular letter of the bishop, and he said, well, this is what the government said, no public masses. So he confirmed it, no public masses. Not starting August 6th, starting today. I mean, I got this letter at 5 o'clock on July 30. July 31, no public masses. So this is not a public mass, and as you know. So I can't concentrate on this gospel, but I think we can ask today's saint to help us with the process of dealing with these changes. Today's saint, Saint Ignatius of Loyola, the great convert. He was a soldier, became a convert, became a spiritual a leader, became a founder of the Jesuits, and a man who can help us sort out what comes from God, what doesn't come from God, and how to respond. This is Saint Ignatius's expertise. Now, in order to share about that, I'll just share with you a little bit of a dream I had last night. It was still in my mind when I woke up, which is pretty unusual for me. Now, the dream has all kinds of weird and unconnected things, like many dreams do, but I found myself in a gathering of people, maybe a couple hundred people. It was some kind of a conference or I don't know what, a seminar. And I was supposed to give a talk at 8 o'clock, first talk of the morning. So I was there and people were sitting around and talking, and there were no chairs set up or anything. It looked like nothing was going to happen, just a bunch of people sitting around. This is not COVID time, no masks, no one's worried about spacing. We're just sitting around. And being a Westerner, I'm thinking, well, it's 8 o'clock, we should start. Nobody else was thinking it was time to start. And then I noticed off on the side, a big group of people, maybe 30, 40 people, kind of congregating on the side of the venue. And so I said, well, maybe something's happening there, maybe the food line or coffee, I don't know what it was. So I went over there, and as I walked into the crowd, some people said, no, you can't go ahead of us. So it was a line. I didn't know it was a line. And then they said, oh, Father, go ahead. And they saw that I was a priest, and they said, go ahead. So I got closer to the front of the line. There were two priests there hearing confessions. So this group of people wasn't just a mob of people. They were in line to go to confession, and there were too many people, and there's only two priests. And everybody in the line assumed that the reason I was going to the front was to go hear confessions. So that wasn't what I had in mind. I was supposed to give a talk, but I can't give the talk, so I might as well. Okay. So they gave me some chairs, and I sat down. A little boy came up to me, the first one. He wasn't in the line. I don't know where he came from. There were no children in the crowd. This little boy, maybe 7, came up, sat in the chair. And so I figured he probably doesn't know what confession is. He probably doesn't know what's happening. So I greeted him. We're speaking in Tagalog. And he probably doesn't understand me, and I wasn't really understanding him very well. Kumusta, ilan taong ka na, and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, in perfectly clear English, the boy says, what is discernment? Just like that. What is discernment? And that's why I'm sharing this story. And I said to the boy, well, that's a big word. I said in English, that's a big word. Ganito, ano ang mabuti, ano ang masama? Ano ang mabuting gawa, anong kasalanan? Anong galing sa Diyos, anong hindi? And that's all I can remember. Maybe there are other things in the dream. But the word discernment is a word connected to today's saint. Maybe you know this. He's the saint of discernment, the saint that teaches the church a method for sorting out in life what is good and bad, what comes from God and what does not come from God, what things we should respond to or follow interiorly, and what things we should reject. Discernment. I assume, now dreams are always about ourselves. There was no, that boy is me. Those people in the crowd are me. The ones that have to go to confession is me. I'm a priest hearing confessions. I'm the one supposed to give a talk. I'm the one supposed to hear the talk. The whole dream is about me. And I must have yesterday looked ahead and saw we're coming to the Feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and I was thinking about discernment. And so it was in my subconscious somewhere. And so the question came out in my dream, what is discernment? Let me turn to St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises. This is his great spiritual work. It's in the form of a retreat, a series of meditations, a discernment retreat, a time to be with God, to listen to God, and to open ourselves to what God is indicating to us. And God doesn't force us, but God gives us light and he gives us inner experiences of what is the right way to go. So we can't go through the whole retreat here, but let me start with the very beginning. What is called the principle and foundation. This is before the retreat even begins. Start with this. Otherwise, you can't do any discernment. I'll just read the principle and foundation, or it sometimes it's called the first principle. Man is created to praise, reverence, and serve God our Lord, and by this means to save his soul. Okay. That's why we're here. We're here for God. We're here for salvation. And the other things on the face of the earth are created for man that they may help him in prosecuting the end for which he is created. Okay, we're made for God. Everything else in the world is supposed to help us get to God. Salvation. From this it follows that man is to use them, meaning these creatures, as much as they help him on to his end, and ought to rid himself of them so far as they hinder him as to it. So if something helps us grow close to God, serve God, do the will of God, then good. And if something does not help us draw close to God, well, then get rid of it. You get the principle. It's pretty obvious if you think of it. Then he says this. This is the end of the first principle and foundation. For this, it is necessary to make ourselves indifferent to all created things. Indifferent meaning, not that we don't care at all, but that we're not attached. We're not fixed on one creature or another. Indifferent to all created things in all that is allowed to the choice of our free will and not prohibited to it. So if something's sinful, of course, you don't have to be indifferent about that because you shouldn't have it anyway. So that on our part, we want not health rather than sickness, riches rather than poverty, honor rather than dishonor, long rather than short life, and so in all the rest. Desiring and choosing only what is most conducive for us to the end for which we are created. Now that's where the first principle gets disturbing. We're not supposed to care whether we're sick or healthy. We're not supposed to care whether we're rich or poor, long life, short life, because on a natural level, it's much better to be healthy than sick. On a natural level, it's much better to be rich than poor. It's better to have a long life than a short life. But we're not living on a natural level. We're living a life of faith. We're created for God, by God and for God. And so whatever leads us to that goal is good. Whatever doesn't is not good. So it's a different standard to follow. John the Baptist uses this standard. If I'm doing the will of God, it doesn't matter if I get killed by Herod. It's good. We honor his martyrdom. Herod does not follow the standard. He thinks what's good is what serves him now, what helps him accomplish his fleshly desires. So he doesn't follow the very first principle and foundation of life, King Herod. Okay, now we can apply this to being locked down again. Of course it's bad. That's what I say. That's why some curse words come to mind. Of course you don't like it on a natural level. But we should take a step back and discern. We should become indifferent to it so that we can see what God is doing or open ourselves to what God is doing. Remember, Ignatius, you know the story of his conversion. He got hit by a cannonball. He's a soldier, he's in war, he gets hit by a cannonball. And that is the turning point for him. Of course it's terrible to be hit by a cannonball. I mean, it ruined his life. He was crippled for life. Of course that was a bad thing. Well, on a natural level. But that became the turning point for him. It stopped him and forced him to look at life differently. In his long convalescence, his recovery time, he discovered that there are different things going on inside, and some of them are good and some are not. Discernment. He realized he didn't have to be a soldier for some earthly king. He could be a soldier for God. And he could found not an army to take over some part of Spain or wherever. He could found an army for God. And that's what the Jesuits are. They're an army. Army for God and for the church. This pandemic, of course it's a bad thing. It's like a cannonball. It's a cannonball right into the economy, right into the social life, right into the life of the church. Shutting down public masses again? It's another cannonball. In fact, it would be surreal if it hadn't happened before. Last year it was surreal. I couldn't even believe it was true. Now it's more like, again? We have to go through this again? Another cannonball? Yes, but God is in charge of the world. So we have to say, if this experience of being locked down draws us to God, then it's good. If we can respond to this hardship by drawing closer to God, we can use it for good. It's bad on a natural level, but that doesn't mean we have to be defeated or even angry or frustrated. We can mourn the losses and the trial, and we don't like suffering. But let us open ourselves, let us discern a path to God here and help others do it and pray for, this is certainly a time of prayer. If we're stopped, that means we have time for prayer. We should be praying for one another. I'll just conclude here. I don't have a problem giving a long homily because nobody has anything to do and no place to go anywhere. Anyway, and no one can protest because this is not a public mass. So you didn't have to come here, not even allowed to be here. I'll just conclude with one thing. You know the motto of the Jesuits, ad maiorem Dei gloriam, AMDG, those initials they put on everything. Ad maiorem Dei gloriam, for the greater glory of God. That's their motto, for the greater glory of God. So no matter what you're doing, or no matter what is happening, do it for the greater glory of God. Yesterday morning, we were not in a lockdown. We had a public mass for the greater glory of God. Today, we don't have a public mass for the greater glory of God. Every day gives us another opportunity to do more for the glory of God. It's a very beautiful way to see the adventure of life. I can give glory to God whether I'm healthy or sick. I can give greater glory to God whether I'm rich or poor, whether we're free or locked down, whether we're in a pandemic or not. Do it for the greater glory of God. That's a Jesuit approach. And since we're celebrating the the founder of the Jesuits, let's take his wisdom and apply it to our circumstances now. Cannonball, imprisonment by King Herod, pandemic, whatever it is, all for the greater glory of God. Amen.